We turn now to the reading of the Word of God and to the preaching. Our background text is Numbers chapter 16. In your pew Bible, you'll find that on page 159. The first background text we'll read is Numbers chapter 16, 41 to 50. You'll find that on page 159, and then we'll go to the New Testament in John chapter 5. This is the living Word of the living God. But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put fire on it from off the altar and lay incense on it and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." So Aaron took it, as Moses said, and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague was stopped. Let us now turn to the New Testament book of John, chapter 5. Find that on page 1133 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 5. Background reading, verses 19 to 29. Our text will be verse 25, but here's the context. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let's ask now for his blessing upon it. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us life, truth. Be pleased now, we pray, to bless the preaching of the voice of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, you might recall that in Deuteronomy, at the very foothills of entering into the promised land, the prophet Moses preaches to Israel all the Ten Commandments. He's doing an exposition. He's recounting before Israel all these commandments. And after 40 years in the wilderness, the prophet Moses declared this: "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." It's chapter 30, verse 19. Well, likewise, every sermon that you hear, the preacher who faithfully handles the word and speaks to you and proclaims to you the word of God is saying the exact same thing. Here I am before you now, giving to you, setting before you life and death, blessing and curse. And the question for us this evening, as well as for the Israelites, is the same. Will we heed the word of God? Will we listen? Will you live? Well, we're not living in Moses' day, but we are living in the time of the risen and ascended Christ. And the book of Hebrews says this, that at many times and long time ago, God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his Son. His Son speaks to us now. Well, how does the Son of God speak to us? It's through the preaching of his word. He speaks to us now through the preaching of the word of God. And that brings us to our text. And Jesus is saying with great emphasis, "Truly, truly, I say to you." So Jesus is underlining this. He's saying, I want you to be aware of this. I want you to know this. I am underlining this. "Truly, truly, I say to you," what, Jesus? "That an hour is assuredly coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the dead will hear." And so how do we understand that this time is coming and now is? Well, Jesus is referring to both the end time as well as this present moment. This moment that we are gathered here, hearing the word of God preached. So there is coming a time at the end of the ages, an hour where the Lord Jesus will return to the earth in great glory, and his voice will command the dead to rise. And death and Hades and the sea will give forth their dead, and they will rise, and their souls will be united with their bodies, and they'll come before the Son of God. And those who believe the voice of the Son of God will hear as well, and they will be united with their bodies, and they will rise at the command of the Son of God. So that is the time that is coming that Jesus is referring to. But what is the "and now is"? Well, as I already said, it is today. Today is the day of salvation. The Son of God speaks to you through a preacher, through a creature, through a speck of dust, wherever it is, whoever stands in this pulpit, as long as they are exegeting and taking the word of God faithfully and proclaiming it to you, it is the very voice of the Son of God speaking to you. It is Jesus come down and saying, "I set before you life, and I set before you death. I set before you blessing and curse." It is the voice of the Son of God reaching out to you and speaking to you. That's why Paul could say in Ephesians that Christ came and preached peace to you. Well, Christ didn't come to Ephesus, but he came in the vessel of the Apostle Paul. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It is Paul, this man who is broken, who is crucified with Christ, and says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and I come and I preach the gospel. I preach Christ to you." That's why he also says that it's before you, your eyes, O Galatians, that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. The Galatians didn't actually see Christ crucified, but they did through the preaching of the word of God. And that's why Paul says, "We preach Christ and him crucified." That's it. That's our message. Christ. And so it is Christ speaking to you. As long, with God's help, I am rightly handling his word here, or whatever man stands in this pulpit and preaches to you life, death, Christ. And so there is an urgency here. Now we see in Christ's message, don't we? Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here. Today is the day of salvation. Brothers and sisters, and those who are gathered here, Christ might even come in the middle of the sermon. He might come in the next second. And for those who are in Christ, who are born again, what a beautiful and glorious reality. And so, but for those who are yet dead in their sins, what an awful reality that you will perish eternally apart from God. And so I come here before you with a message in my heart, with God's word. I come here saying, I'm going to throw open the gates of heaven before you. I'm calling upon you, run to Christ and live. Choose life and be saved. But know this, if I'm going to be faithful to this word as well, that there's also judgment here. As our context said, the Father judges no one but has given all judgment to the Son. And so it is the Son of God who comes saying, I give life. I throw open the gates of paradise to you. But also if you reject my word, judgment, death, and you will perish in your sins forever. That's the message. And by God's grace, I want to open up this call in verse 25 to you. If you saw on the screen behind me, we have 3 points. An awakening call, a quickening call, and a final call. So the call unto life is an awakening call. It is a quickening call, and it is a final call. So let us begin with the first point. Jesus said that the hour is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. So what is the voice of the Son of God? What is he saying? At the outset of the Gospel of Mark, this is what Jesus says. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the voice of the Son of God coming to us in this hour, in this day, in this time. Repent and believe the gospel. And so Jesus is coming as a messenger of light. Well, what are you talking about? His message is repent, turn. You are wicked. You are evil. You must turn a 180 degree and go the other way. You must turn from this, but you also must believe the gospel, the good news. And the Gospel of John says that Jesus is light. In John chapter 1, we read, or John chapter 3, we read this, that Christ has come as light, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So why else would Jesus be preaching, repent, if not this, that we are wicked? We are evil. We are dead in our sins. We are born haters of God. And that is why the Son of God as light comes and says, repent. So we must awaken. This call must ring forth in your ears. It must reach down into your very heart and grab hold of you. If it doesn't, you will perish. You will die in your sins unless the voice of the Son of God comes and reaches you. And oh, I pray that it would. The Holy Spirit would come with power and reach your heart and convict you and say, what this man is saying from the Word of God is true. That you would take this seriously. That you would be saved. Oh, that you'd be saved. And so I stand before many of you who have gone to church your entire life. And I fear for you. You've heard this message so many times. Repent and believe the gospel. But it falls on deaf ears. You've heard it. You've heard it 10 years. You've heard it 20 years. Some of you have heard it 90 years. But just because you've been here and heard the preaching of the word doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you intellectually assent to knowledge and say, yeah, that's true what he's saying. I can quote it verbatim from the word of God too. That doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian that you pray. It doesn't make you a Christian that you come to church at all. What makes you a Christian? It's hearing the voice of the Son of God reaching down into your darkness and taking out your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. It is the voice of the Son of God saying, live, and you live, and you have that resurrection life that we heard this morning. It's true life. It's true life. And so I beg with you, listen, please listen. You've got to hear this. You are not born a Christian. Okay, you're talking about people in the world. I'm not talking about just people in the world. I'm talking about people in our church. It doesn't matter that you were born in this church or any church. That doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? What does the Bible say? You were born dead in sins and transgressions. You were born a hater of God. In sin did my mother conceive me. You were born dead. Dead. Not alive. Dead. And oh, that this voice would awaken you. Here. Here. Because I fear that there are some of you who are saying, well, you know, I've been in this church. I've grown up in this church. I've always loved God. You have not always loved God. You haven't. You are dead. And the only reason that anybody loves God is because the Holy Spirit comes and makes him a new creature. He's born again to a living hope. Can a dead man live? I mean, can a dead man love? Can a dead man see? Can a dead man speak? No. And so I want this to be an awakening call for you to wake up lest you perish, lest you die. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are a preacher. It doesn't matter if you are an officer in this church. It doesn't matter if you're a member in good standing. It doesn't matter any of these things except that you be born again. There are preachers who are not born again. There are seminarians who are not born again. There are people who are not born again. That's why Jesus comes to Nicodemus, a covenant child of Abraham, a teacher of Israel, and says, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I say to you, unless you are born again, you will not even see the kingdom of heaven. That's his message to Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel. What about us? What about you? What about you? The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And maybe some of you are here and you're saying in anger right now, in offense in your heart, saying, why is he preaching this message to us? Doesn't he know we come here, we're faithful, we're Christians? Doesn't he know? But I know that if you're born again, you're hearing this, you're saying, amen, this is true. This is true. I need to hear this for my own soul. So if you're sitting here and you're angry and you're saying, why is he preaching this way? Why is he telling me I need to be born again? Is it not this? And maybe you are not born again. Maybe you're dead. You need to live. You need to hear the voice of the Son of God for the first time and truly live. This message is for the world. It's not for me. I'm in the church. The Lord Jesus told this parable in Matthew 21 of two sons. The father goes to one of the sons and says, go into the vineyard and work. And the son says, I will, and he doesn't. And he goes to another son and says, go into the vineyard and work. He says, I'm not going to do that. But he goes in and works. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, he said, which one of these sons did the will of God? And he said, the ones who actually went into the vineyard and worked. And Jesus had this response to them. Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe. And so you have the Pharisees who hear the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is saying, you need to repent and turn from your wickedness and sin. And all these Pharisees come and they're looking at all these tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes going to John the Baptist, and they're being baptized for the remission of sins. And John the Baptist sees these Pharisees coming and says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he said, don't presume, don't say that, well, we have Abraham as our father, we're okay, because I say to you that God is able to make up from these stones children. From these stones, these dead stones, God can raise up children. So don't presume upon your heritage. Am I pleased for you as well? Don't presume upon your heritage. Don't presume upon it. God must make you alive by his voice. Well, you say again, well, this is not for me. This is for the world. Right? Listen to this. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, that there will be many on that day who say, Lord, Lord, and didn't we cast out demons, and didn't we perform mighty signs and miracles and works and do things like that? But Jesus says before that, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Well, certainly these people who have done these mighty works, these mighty miracles and things, certainly they are going to the kingdom of heaven because they're doing the will of the Father. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these works? Wasn't I born into your church? Didn't I memorize the catechism? Didn't I teach my children the Bible? Didn't I do all these things? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Into the flame of fire, depart. Don't, I plead with you, don't presume upon your heritage. That is a sandy foundation. And everybody who builds on that foundation, when the winds come and the rains fall, that house is going to fall. And great is it, will it be its destruction. But those who hear these words of mine, Christ says, and builds their house upon the rock, the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew and the house stood, because it was built upon the rock, Christ, the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the message. And let me plead with you again. Jesus' ministry, as we saw here in John chapter 5, it's a ministry of life and judgment, like I said, right? He's coming before you and he's saying, I'm setting life before you. He's saying, I'm also setting death before you. And I want you to think with me in John chapter 9 now about the blind man. Remember the man who was born blind? And the disciples see him, they say, why was this man born blind? Was it for his sin or somebody else's? He said, it wasn't for any of these, but it's for the glory of God. And so Jesus comes and he heals this blind man. But you remember how he heals the blind man? He spits in the mud. He takes this mud and he rubs it in this blind man's eyes. He says, okay, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And you need to picture this blind man with just mud on his eyes. It's humiliating. And he's groping, okay, where's the pool? People are seeing this man with like mud on his eyes. It's like, look at, what is this guy doing? But he goes and he finds the pool and he puts water on his eyes and he sees. And he comes back and he finds Christ. And he says, well, who is the Son of Man that I might worship him? And I who speak to you am he. And he begins worshiping because he's been saved. His eyes have been opened. He sees. That's a picture of judgment, of sins, of Christ saying, look, you need to repent. Look at this mud. Look at this blindness. You're blind. You must see. You must go to the pool and you must wash so that you can actually see. The humility, that's what the preaching of the cross does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts the world of sin, righteousness. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It humiliates us. It humbles us. And he sees, and he's saved. But what do the Pharisees say? And Jesus says, for judgment I came into the world, that those seeing, let me get it correctly here, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see the blind man may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. And so my great fear is this. You've heard the gospel so many times. You've heard the gates of paradise flung open before. You've heard about who Christ is, who God is, what a sin is, what hell is, what all this is, and it's just words to you. It just falls on deaf ears. It just doesn't penetrate at all. And you've deceived yourself, and you're saying, well, are we also blind? Mr. Preacher who's standing up preaching to me, John 5, am I also blind? And my heart weeps for you. My heart breaks for you that you would even say that. Because look what Jesus said to those Pharisees. Because you say, we see, because those Pharisees weren't asking in truth, they're asking in mocking way. Because you say, we see, you're blind. And would that you were like this blind man who is actually blind, but your blindness is so thick and so dark. Judgment is passed upon you. You must hear the voice of the Son of God, but I fear that you won't. Oh, that you would hear that you are a wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked, and dead. That you would hear the voice of the Son of God and live. You would really live. But I must turn to a different group of people. Our text says that some who hear the voice of the Son of God in this hour do indeed live. So the same sunlight that shines light upon the clay, the ground, hardens some and softens others. And there are some of you here and who are listening who, in fact, have heard the voice of the Son of God. That the message, repent and believe, the gospel has come and has completely undone you, hasn't it? It has stripped you away of all your righteousness, hasn't it? You look to your right, there's nothing that can save you. Look to your left, there's nothing that can save you. You were completely undone before God. And you're sitting here, you're saying, I want to hear the voice of the Son of God. I want to live, aren't you? And so you were like the character in John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, who it's been revealed to him that you were in the city of destruction. Wrath is coming upon this city. You will be swept away in the flood when Christ comes back unless you are saved. And you're putting your finger in your ears and people are saying, what are you? You're crazy. What do you mean? Aren't you saved? You've been in this church forever. And you're saying, life, everlasting life. And you're running. There's some of you who are like that, aren't there? running for life. I must live. I must have a righteousness not of my own. Where is it? Where is it, preacher? Where is it? There's good news for you. There's good news for you, but you must not stop there. Conviction of sin is not salvation. It must terminate in the gospel. It must take you to the cross. And so don't just lay back here. We'll say, well, I'm feeling convicted and I feel pious and I feel godly. No, because like we heard this morning, Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow gate. Because there are few, who will make it into eternal life. That's what the disciples were saying, like, Jesus, Lord, will there be few that come into your kingdom? And he says this, strive to enter the narrow gate. So what is this striving? It's just completely calling upon God, begging him, Lord God, I am wretched. I am just like what your word said. I am wretched. I am pitiful. I am poor. I am naked. I have nothing. I am a wretch. I am a monster of iniquity. Unless you save me, unless you wash me, Savior, I will perish. And I'm going to run to that altar. I'm going to lay hold of the horns of the altar. And I'm not going to let go until you save me, God. That is striving to enter into the narrow gate. That is the voice of God saying, come, strive. Come. Lay hold of me. Come. Repent. Lay hold of me. Wrestle like Jacob did with the angel until God blesses you. Strive. It's a conviction of the mind. It's a conviction of the heart. It's a complete emptying out of yourself and saying, I have nothing. I will perish without God intervening. I have nothing. I love what you preached today, brother. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Ask and it will be given to you. Strive to enter the narrow gate. And so, if you are on this road with John Bunyan's Christian saying, life, life, eternal life, follow the voice. Which leads us to our next point. Our next point. Follow the voice of the Son of God, which is a quickening call. And so where does this voice of the Son of God take us? It takes you directly to a mountain, that holy mountain, the Mount Golgotha, Calvary. And listen, from where does the Son of God speak? Is it from heaven? Behold, the Son of God placarded upon his throne, a tree with a crown of thorns pressed into his brow, with the nails through his feet, through his hands. Look at him naked. Look at him exposed, like we heard on that Good Friday service. Look at him in midday, but it being midnight in thick darkness. Look at the Son of God calling upon you, calling to you from the cross. Repent and believe the gospel. So you see, salvation is through judgment. It's when the Holy Spirit, he takes you and he runs you right up to the foot of the cross and you look up and you see the Savior for the first time and you say, that is me. That should have been me. Look at the Son of God made sin for you. Look at the Son of God bearing upon himself the wrath of God that's being poured out from heaven as God the Father takes that cup that we talked about on Thursday, presses it against the lips of his Son and says, drink it down to the dregs. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God alone in utter darkness as he is crushed for sin, like for sinners like you and like me. And so you can't be born again unless you see you are dead. You can't be born again unless you see you're a wretch, a sinner. You can't be born again unless you see that cross with the eyes of faith, unless God in his mercy opens up the cross to you through the preaching of the Word of God, the voice of the Son of God saying, come to me and look upon me and live, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to me and live, all the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, who looks on the Son upon the cross, crushed, pierced, wounded, crushed for our iniquity and sins, everyone who looks upon the Son in life and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. And so I plead with you, if you are running for eternal life and seeking it, plant yourself at the foot of the cross and stay there and look, beseeching God, show me Christ. Let me be able to say with Paul, I have been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who loved me and gave himself up for me. Stay there and look up to that serpent. It's like Moses did upon the pole, and they were saved. Look upon the Son of God upon the cross. And if you look, you will live. That's the promise. You will be brought from judgment into life. We read in Numbers earlier that Aaron takes his censer and his incense and his fire, and he runs and he stands between the dead and the living. And the wrath of God is checked, right? That's what the text said. As he stands there with his censer. And you could just imagine the picture. Just 14,500 souls, dead bodies rotting with the plague. The stench, the screams, the horror of it. And the living on the other side looking. Behold the Son of God. The greater Aaron, the great high priest, upon that cross, placarded between the dead and the living. He is the narrow way. He is that narrow gate through whom you must pass. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Here's the Son of God placarded upon the cross. Aaron had the fire to quench the wrath of God with the incense. Here's Christ taking upon him the curse and the sin for his people and the fire of God raining down upon him and crushing him and consuming him. Here's the Son of God, the doors wide open saying, there's paradise behind me. Come in, flee from the wrath to come. I have taken it upon you. Run through this narrow gate. Run through the straight way and you will find life. I am the door. If you come in and out of me, you will have eternal life. So I plead with you. I plead with you. Run to Christ for life. Humble yourselves. There are people here, even listening, say, I've heard that. I understand. You must, oh God, you must humble yourself. You must see, that is me. I am a wretch. That's what I deserve. And dying, you will live. That's the voice of the Son of God. Dying, you will live. Look upon me. I died for you, and you will be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. You will be saved. That brings me to our final point in closing. It's this final call, the final call, which takes us now out of the present day, the day of salvation, and brings us into the end times. And if I'm being faithful, I must warn you who hear this but reject this message. You will hear the voice of the Son of God. You will be raised up from the dead, but it will not be unto life. You will be cast, thrown into the lake of fire, as the Son of God comes for the second time and passes judgment upon you. you will perish eternally away from him. I set before you death and life this evening. Which will you choose? What will you believe? Are we playing games here? This is God speaking. Blessing, curse, life, death, heaven, hell. So I plead with you, turn now. Turn now. Believe the gospel, for it's too late. And oh, for the beloved bride of Christ here. You will hear the voice of the Son of God, and you will live. He is the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What does he mean there? He says, if you are living in this life and believing in the voice of the Son of God has come and has set you free from your sin, you will, even though you will die, death is just a gateway to be with me into paradise. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Meaning you shall never, in that great day when the dead are raised up, you will never be thrown into the lake of fire. But I'll come, and I'll bring you to myself, that you may be with me. This beautiful passage in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. You will hear the voice of the bridegroom coming, saying, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines and blossom, they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, come away, and the king will bring you into his chambers, and you will enjoy him forever and ever." And so I've presented before you the bread of life. Come and eat. Believe the gospel. I've given before you the springs, the rivers of living water. Come and drink and live. I have opened before you the door of life. It is through the cross, a straight and narrow way. Run to Christ and live. Live. What will you choose? So I close with our text, John chapter 5, verse 25. The voice of the Son of God, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here. Today is the day of salvation, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Live. Repent and believe the gospel, and those who hear will live." It's the promise. May God help us. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, work conviction. Oh, if there be any here who are not born again, oh God, may they run to Christ and be saved. How sweet and awful is the place with Christ within the doors. Everlasting love is displayed, the choicest of her stores. Oh, how wretched it is. And the bread of life is come here, is presented. And those who choose to rather starve than come, oh God, set them free. Let them run to you and live and partake of the bread of life and be saved. Have mercy, O God, and may this word be a great encouragement for your bride. Oh, to hear the voice of the bridegroom. Arise, my love, my beautiful one. We love you, Lord. We pray this all and give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.